acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I grew up watching Dolly Parton. I'm not sure how many of you did, but she's made a bit of a resurgence. There's this new Netflix show, which I haven't watched yet, based on some of her songs. And I've been listening to this podcast called Dolly Parton's America, which is fascinating. And they were interviewing, and I had no idea about how she started. But she was a prolific songwriter, but didn't really make a break into the world until this man named Porter Young, who had a show, brought her onto his show. I've never heard of him before, right? But he had this show, and it was like the prototypic, you know, the male head and then what he called his pretty little lady next to him, and she'd come on and maybe sing something. And there had been a woman for a long time on the show named Norma Jean, apparently. And Norma Jean left, and so he hired Dolly. But apparently when Dolly came, nobody liked her. And so they would start chanting in the middle of the show Norma Jean's name because they wanted Norma Jean back. And I was astonished to hear this because all I know of Dolly Parton is she's this huge success. But she didn't have a very successful beginning. But then as I started thinking about it, I thought, you know what, this makes total sense. Because we're people and we're not good at change, right? And when Dolly Parton came onto the scene, she actually didn't have a voice that was very common for female singers at the time. So she didn't have a voice people were used to. They knew they liked Norma Jean. Where did Norma Jean go? Who was this new person? And they were so busy looking at the past and who Norma Jean had been that they were missing this person in front of them who would be a star with staying power over the last 40 years. But we all do that, don't we? We are much better sometimes at looking at the past and remembering what we loved than seeing what's standing right in front of us right now. In the story of Ezra, we get a little bit of that. It's an interesting story with some great, good names, right? Laura, good job. In this story, we see the people of Israel return to Jerusalem. We've heard from three different prophets over the last weeks. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah basically said to the people, you guys are screwing up. You're going to have to go to exile. At some point, exile's coming. Jerusalem's going to fall. The temple's going to fall. And it happens. And then last week, we heard from Isaiah when the people were in exile. And Isaiah said, okay, your time has almost been served. You're going to go back to Jerusalem. Be comforted. And we talked about peace. Now today in Ezra, the people are back in Jerusalem. It's been 70 years. They're back in Jerusalem, and they're going to rebuild the temple. King Cyrus is in charge. He's not Judean, but he has said, you know what? You guys want to practice your religion? Go ahead. You want to rebuild the temple? Fine by me. So they lay the foundation. And then I love what it says here. It says there were shouts of joy and gladness. But then there was also weeping, so loud that you couldn't distinguish between the two. And I started thinking about how true that is to life, right? And the two different kind of factions in this story. You have the people shouting for joy, and it actually says this in there. It says later, the older people were the ones weeping. So these younger people who are shouting for joy, they are here at the temple. But remember this, they had never seen the first temple. They had grown up in exile. All they knew about the temple was what their parents or their grandparents had told them. And this was a fabulous, wonderful thing for them. And there was none of that emotion from the past tied into it. So they were able to just rejoice completely in this moment. But then it had the other people. It says the older people who had known the first temple, when the foundation of the temple was laid, they wept. And at first I thought, well, maybe they were weeping for joy. But the more I read and the more I looked at the Hebrew, that's not it. They were sad. They were sad. Why? Maybe because all of those memories of the first temple came up. Maybe everything that happened when the first temple was destroyed came back to them. Being led
the exile returned in their minds. And maybe there was a part of them also that looked at this temple and thought, well, it's not going to be the same. The other one was Solomon's glory. What's this going to be? And so they wept. Does this sound familiar to anyone in anyone's lives? Because this happens all the time. We get the spectrum of the joy and the weeping, of remembering the past and looking forward to the future. We feel it in the church all the time. And guess what? Lest you think it's new, it's not. The first immigrants to the United States, there were huge splits in the church because some people wanted to speak and worship in their original language they came over here with, and others didn't. Where I grew up, there are some places, some towns, where you can literally go to a corner, a cross street, and there will be four churches. One where the people wanted to continue speaking Norwegian, and the one across the street that their kids built, because their kids said, Mom, Dad, we're speaking English. And another on the other corner, probably the German-speaking congregation, and across the street, their kids, who said, forget it, we're speaking in English, right? This has been going on, and it still goes on. I know there are those of you here who look at the church and say, it's just not like what it used to be. It's not what I remember from when I was growing up or when my kids were growing up. But I also know there are those of you who sit and say, man, we should be doing something more innovative. We should be moving forward more quickly. Why don't we have more tech and more all of this other stuff? Somebody sent me this awesome Facebook image of a pastor like ziplining into the congregation over the heads of the congregation. Like, that's innovation, right? A little over the top, perhaps. But why aren't we doing that to attract more people? I know there are those of you on both sides. The problem is, if we stay on both sides, nothing gets done in the middle. The temple sat, they laid that foundation for 15 years, nothing happened. Finally, after 15 years, God raises up new prophets to say, what in the world? Why isn't the temple finished yet? And you have to wonder if maybe it was because the people who were looking forward and had all the ideas didn't necessarily have the follow-through, right? Because they didn't know what this was about. And the people who were weeping and crying, the older people were like, yeah, I've been there, done that. And I don't know, I don't have the energy. It's too much to do it again. And so it just sat and nothing happened. But that's what happens to us when we either are living too much in the past or we are looking too far forward. We miss what can be done in the present. And so much can be done in the present. But it's not just in the church, is it? You can probably link this to your own lives, to your families. At first, I looked at this text and I thought, this is a really weird text for Advent. I'd never preached this text on Advent and it came up. But then I thought, this is perfect. Because Advent, Christmas, and the preparation to Christmas is probably the biggest time of year I know of for tradition, right? For the way things have to be, for the cookies that have to be made, for the way the mistletoe, where it has to be hung, where a certain ornament goes on a tree, how we celebrate. We are very wrapped up in that tradition. And that's okay, I like tradition. Tradition is good. The problem becomes when the tradition has to change. And then it becomes painful, just like the temple. Because you start remembering how things used to be. And you want that back, and it hurts. Sometimes really hurts. And I know some of you are on that happy side this Christmas. Some of you are so looking forward to Christmas and you can't wait, right? And it's hard to even live in the present because how many more days is it going to be till Christmas? But I also know there are those of you who are not necessarily looking forward to Christmas or for whom it feels mixed. Because maybe you've lost someone you love, or maybe you are ill or somebody you know is ill. Maybe somebody in your family has moved away. Maybe a child got married and now they have to split their Christmas. That was always a big deal. All of a sudden, whose house are you going to when? And all of a sudden, traditions change. Maybe your finances are tight this year. You don't know how you're going to celebrate in the way you would like. There are so many reasons that we could be sad and weeping this Christmas. And maybe you find yourself on either, you're in yourself, you're on both sides of that spectrum, depending on the minute. One minute you're super happy that Christmas is coming, and the next minute you're weeping because a memory comes into your head about someone you loved or something you did that's not going to be the same. That's real. And so as people of God, what I ask you to do, just like I ask you to do in the church, is honor that in other people. Know that there are those around you who are super excited, and let them be. Don't be the Scrooge. But also know that there are those around you who are sad this Christmas, who are struggling this Christmas, for whom this Christmas may be hard, and hold them in your heart and your prayer. And be kind to yourself. And know it's okay to weep, it's okay to cry, it's okay not to feel happy all the time, but also know it's okay to find joy again. I had an interesting experience some years back when a woman whose husband had died came to me after Christmas. And her husband had been sick and she'd been caretaking for many, many years. And for the first time in years, because her husband had died, she was able to go to her daughter's house. Her daughter lived far away and had many children, so she got to be with her daughter and her grandkids, and she hadn't been able to do that in years. And she came back and she said, "Pastor, I had such a good time, and I feel so guilty." "Why do you feel guilty?" "Because I shouldn't have been having so much fun. I should have been missing my husband more," she told me. And I get it. But it's okay to experience joy. The past is the past, and the future is not here yet, but our God is a God of right now, and you can experience joy because we believe in a God of resurrection, and we believe in a God of new life, and we believe in a God who makes all things new. And I know we want the traditions to stay the same, but you know what? There might be a new good one that comes along. In confirmation on Sunday, we had a family confirmation dinner, and this was just all serendipitous. I didn't know this text was coming up, but we were talking about traditions. And many people brought up traditions that at some point in their life had to change. Usually it was because around someone dying. And they said that even though the tradition changed, the new traditions they formed became special too. But we need to let ourselves do that. God is a God of joy. Our God is a God of joy. And our God is also, I think these are the most important words that are in this text for today. They come from the Psalms. God's steadfast love endures forever. And if we believe that, we can honor the past because God's love was there. But it doesn't have to be like that for God to be present now. And we can look to the future and know that God will do good things, but we don't have to wait for those things to happen for God to be present either. God is present here and present now. And if we spend all of our time looking back or all of our time wishing for the future, we will miss what God is doing right here, right now. And let me tell you, God is doing good things. God is making all things new. And God wants you to experience joy, not just in memories of the past, those are awesome, and not just about thoughts in the future, but right now.